Okay, we're in Tafanal, Halachavav. We're up to the Ramah. The Machaber said last week that we paskin, that we follow Rosh Tashmisha in the Sonny Hadakashu. So we have a long Ramah. Yesh Machmirim, Lahagah Ka'aros Bukinishim. Some of Machmir the Kasher plates in the Klinishim, even though, of course, a plate is used only as a Klisheni. And the reason is because you occasionally stick it into the, you might put it onto the fire or stick it into a pot. Also, anything else, we have a chashash, you might use it as a klinishin to coin kapas, like spoons. What? Okay, that's a separate reason. That's not what Rambam was talking about.
No. Like a bread.
That one. It's not, it's a klinishin. Okay, fine.
What's the proper charge?
Anything that you use, means in halacha, hey, he said.
It's included in the first thing.
Look, he said a plate, v'chein, and anything else like that. It's not just special about a plate. Is there anything else that you have the same kind of a chash? V'yesh machmir lahagul kol kli shtia. People who machmir they catch all cups also. After pishem mishamshim b'tzayin, mishum shol fa'om mishamshim mcham. Okay, so the same kind of a chash. The chashish from your tashmishay. V'chein hu aminik lahagilon. U'b'diyevet tzayin u'b'shtiva. Okay, b'diyevet you can be matter if there was no. If you were not choshesh with mitzvah shemishah, u'k'oros gedolos shal yuchel lahachnas tach shemishah. Now we have like a side problem. He mentioned about a plate. This is really going to be a halacha later. What do you do about a plate that's so big that you can't fit it into the shemishah? So in a pot, it's easier to deal with because you can overflow the pot. A plate you can't do that with. So what do you do? Yitim aleim evan muluvin, v'yaron aleim lorsin b'shemishah. So what you do is you pour on water onto them, hot water onto them, and use the evan muluvin to bounce it up to the Bahavi kick klimishin. The Mishnah says it's not really a klimishin, but it makes it closer to being a klimishin. And this is, we'll maybe talk about this again in a second. The chen kol k'yotzev is or anything like this, the yavah evan akol ha'kli sh'oz ma'gul kloy. And you move the rock around the whole kli, the burning hot rock brings the water to be close to the temperatures of klimishin, and then it's considered that you did it sort of like a klimishin. Okay? So what happens is then, the Machaber had said that we make all to say that you only have to be choshesh for kli for its roi tashmisha, and the Ramah is saying we're machmir that you for me tashmisha. What's the reason? Because so the simple understanding is that what's the reason? Because there's a machlokas return. We had a machlokas. Why is it that knives don't need ribun to pay? In the Gemara, Pesachim says they don't need ribun. So there were two shittas in the return. One was because it's hetei bola. One is because it's me tashmisha. Because of you follow Rav Tesh Mishai. So the Ramah Sankh gets to be Machmir for the Rishonim who don't hold in this school of Rav Tesh Mishai. Okay. Okay, now, if you go back in that halacha of knives, okay, the Machaber says that you, for Pesach, you kasher a knife with Hagola. So the Magen Avraham says, wait a second. He says, that's very nice for the Machaber. The Machaber, the Shittah, so he holds you follow Rav Tesh Mishai. He says, but the Ramah holds that you have to be choshesh for me a tashmishai. If you choshesh for me a tashmishai, then a knife, you occasionally can poke something on the fire to see how it's doing, so you should need to do libun for a knife. That's what the Magen Avraham says. He says it seems like really, according to the Ramah, that choshesh for me a tashmishai, you should have to do libun. On that Magen Avraham, the Prima Gaon says, he says, wait a second. He says, that would be fine other times, but it doesn't make sense for Pesach. He says, for Pesach, he says, we have two reasons to be makel to not do ribun. One is because it's me tashmish, and one is because it's a terrible. So he says he doesn't think you should be machmir. It's two. You could even starve the two kulos and be makel. Okay. Rabbi Krieger says the same thing, but he says it much stronger and much clearer. He says it's a machlokas rishonim. What the answer is, it's a Gemara that says that knives for Pesach you kasher with hagol. That's the Gemara says himself. You kasher them with hagol. Some rishonim hold that that's because chametz is a terrible. And some Rishonim hold that it's because you follow Rav Tesh Mishai. He says, but you can't be machmir for both at the same time. You could be machmir for either of them. Let's say you have a plate. So you have a plate that was used as a cliche. You'd be machmir, maybe like the other Rishonim, and you don't say Rav Tesh Mishai, you say, no, kasher is a cliche. He says, you could be machmir that chametz is not a terrible, and you kasher something used on the fire with levon. He says, but you can't, if you do both at the same time, it's a stira. Mamanashach is mutter. That's what he uses, mamanashach. He says, mamanashach, this thing doesn't need hakol. basically, the Gemara says that nice Pesach, don't eat hakol. So he's saying the Mamashach, you don't have to do that. Which is even, it's strange, it's not like just the Prim Gadol is saying, it's like, it's a tzir, we have two reasons to be Mekel, so we can be Mitar. So the Rav Krieger is saying it's stronger, and in fact, the Prim Gadol points out, he says, if you look, there are a whole bunch of cases of being Choshes from Yer Teshmishay. He says, you'll notice that not one of those cases is a clear that sometimes he's legal. How come the Rambam, he picked a bunch of cases, he had spoons and plates and cups, why didn't he say a case of a kli that sometimes, occasionally you stick it onto the fire, you use it right on the fire, so it's legal. He says, why didn't he pick such a case? Because in such a case, he wouldn't have been machmir. And he gave me few cases of being choshes from miyat hashmisha, and none of them are the case where the miyat hashmisha is machayiv you to do legal. Because in such a case, you would not be machayiv to do legal. Tadiq and the Rambam, that the Rambam agrees to this shit.
His case are what? All kinds of abandon.
Case of the Ramah,
yeah.
A case is where, let's say, it's a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni. You have to choose, should I choose the higher Hagolah or the lower Hagolah? So then, why doesn't he pick a case where the choices are Hagolah and Libun?
And tell me the what?
You get me a text message, so you have to question and do Libun.
Okay, that's it.
So the text is, because for Pesach, to have to do Libun, there's no such thing, because then you'd have a tier for, not you'd have Mamon Shach, who would be Mutter, and you would be allowed to do. Okay, so now, I don't know. You could answer the Magen Avraham. There is a way to answer the Magen Avraham, which is that I told you, at least what I think, is the simple reading of the Ramah here. Why is the Ramah being machmir? Because it's a machlokes rishonim, whether you should hold the Varat Teshmisha or not. And the Ramah is being machmir for those rishonim who hold you can't be makel with Varat Teshmisha. Okay, that's why I think it's a simple reading. The Taz is a different reason. The Taz says the reason why the Ramah is machmir is because it's too confusing to people to be choshish to hold this dinner of Rosh Hashanah. They wouldn't understand it. They're so confused. What do you mean? But I one time used it like that. So since it's confusing to people, so Midrabanan, you're not allowed to be some. Nowadays, you're not allowed to be some on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so if that's the reason, it's not because of the Rishonim. It's just not about general chumrah. Don't be. If that's going to be true, then it has nothing to do with this whole Mamonim Shach. The whole Mamonim Shach doesn't make sense. And then, even for Nez, even for Libun, you would need to do. Okay? So you could say the Magen Avraham holds like that. Okay? It's hard to hear because it doesn't seem to be the simple reading of the Ramah here. There's a Machlokes Rishonim about this thing. And so it's being choshes for the other Rishonim. That's a very straightforward way to understand the din as opposed to what the Taz. Okay. Now, Rabbi Shechter has a different answer. A different way. I don't know if one day I will give you something. Probably not today. But Rabbi Shechter has a different answer for a child we're going to talk about in a minute. He says, Rabbi Shechter learns that I've told you that there's two answers in the Rishonim to the child about the sphere about the knives. Either that Chometz is Heter Boa or that you'd be able to make about Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you look at Tosfos, it's in Chulin on Daf Ches. Tosfos appears to say the reason is because of Rav Teshmisha. Okay, it depends on Rav Teshmisha. The knife in Pesachim is a small knife. You don't use it on the fire, and the knife in Avodah Zarah is a long knife, and you use it on the fire. Rabbi Shechter reads the Tosfos differently. He says, well, Tosfos, the Rashba says Rav Teshmisha means, the Chacham said, when you only have the Kashim of the Rabbanan, you're not mechuyev to be worried about the little uses that you use for it, and you can ignore those uses. The Chacham gave you a break. They said, the only Kashim of the Rabbanan, we give you a break. And the way Rabbi Shechter understands what Tosfos says is that not that they said you don't have to be choshes from miyat hashmishay, but if you don't know that you used it for the secondary use, just because there's a possibility you might have used it for that, you don't have to kasher it. But if you were to know that you did use it, I know that 2 days ago I stuck this knife onto a piece of bread into the oven. If I knew that I did it, then I would be mechuyev to believe it. Because the Rashba says very clearly. The Chum said, ignore the secondary use that you had. They just gave you a break. Ignore it. Even though I know I do it often enough, I do that. And Rabbi Shechter understands that Tosfos learns that it's not that they said you have a right to ignore if you know about it. It's just you don't have to be choshes that you did it. They're letting you not be concerned. Maybe I did it. Maybe like something to Rabbanan, I don't know, whatever. So you don't have to be choshes that maybe you did that. And the Chum let you off the hook in that way. Okay? So if that's true, then it's not that it's impossible to have it. Even if you hold a right Tashmisha, there are times that you have to do it. It depends on if you knew or if you didn't know. Okay? Rabbi Shechter, when he says, I don't understand. He says, a guy used a cleave once for Libra. He says, now, once on the fire. He says, what does it help that I use it now another 100 times afterwards in a way that needs hakola? The time that I used it, I needed to do it. What does it help that I did it afterwards?
The point is right, because we hold bigger the area of enjoyment doesn't mean.
That's correct. That's what the Rabbi said. Correct. Rabbi Shechter is saying is he thinks Tosfos is saying a different issue. Again, if you look at the Tosfos, we argue with him. If you look at the Tosfos, he sure seems like he's saying like the Rajba. The wording is a drop different. But to say that he means Roy Tashmisha in this different way is okay, you can tell that's how Rabbi Shechter wants. Okay, you'll hear his Napkumina, a very serious Napkumina.
Yeah, Well,
when the Ramah says that we're choishes for me and Tashmish, no. But this is chat in the those who hold that you can be, don't have to be choishes for me and Tashmish, even they would agree that there are cases that you do have to be.
And he's reading that into the room, Tashmish is into the Shulchan Aruch, right?
Yes, that's correct. Okay, now. Now we have an odd thing over there. It's hard to understand what about to happen. I told you, the Prima Gavim says, on that Magen Avraham, it says, maybe the marriage should be legal. Prima Gavim says, he says, no, because it's two chumras. You don't have to be machmir for both chumras at the same time. That's what he argued over there. Okay? That was over there in Halacha Gimel, by knives. In our din, which is the din of Rosh Hashanah, the Prima Gavim says, you know, there's this thing that people use their tin plates on the fire. Maybe they warm their food up with it. I didn't get exactly what they do. Something they use it on the fire. So he says, and they kash it with hakol. He says, and I told them that it's wrong. You can't kash it with hakol, because since you use it occasionally on the fire, so you have to be choshes for me and teshmishay, and you're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to kash like that. Okay. Now what is he saying? He's talking about mamash the case that he talked about three halachas ago. It's a shiloh. Should I have to do leavim? I could be mitzar, hetera bala, and me a teshmishay. And he said before him that in that case, that's enough. You can be sarmach on those two things together. You don't have to be machlofer. So why over here is he telling you? Here it's even stranger, because here he's telling you, he says people were doing it and told them like not to do it. He says that no, that's not a good. You shouldn't do this. As if he's like strange that they should be makel like that. But he himself said a few halachas ago that you could be makel in that case. Okay. It's a strange. He's like ignoring the kula that he said a few halachas ago. And what's also is that in our din, okay, in our halacha, the Mishnah Berurah brings this prima gavim that I just told you. He brings it and says one of his examples. He says the mitzvah mishnah is, and if you have a plate that you use on the fire once in a while, then you have to leave it to this kli. Okay, that's the Mishnah Berurah brings it over here. This prima gavim. Yet in the halacha of knives. In the halacha of knives, the Mishnah Berurah makes a point of saying that even though you occasionally use the knife on the fire, what the Magen Avraham says, even though you occasionally use it on the fire, you still can get away with being Sevach HaRoi Tesh Mishnah. So it happens, you can't go both ways. If you're saying over here, that like the Prima Gavim says in this halacha, that you could be a Tesh Mishnah can even make you have to do Livun. So how come, that's exactly what the Magen Avraham said over there. So how can he mamash in the words of the Magen Avraham, which is, you have a knife and you occasionally use it on the fire, and he still says you need hagol. So it's something's missing here. Right? We're seeing the Prima Gavim is saying two different dinim, and the Mishnah Berurah is bringing sort of both opposite dinim. One over here to say like this cheshbon that there's a tziruv or it's a mamonav shach that you don't have to be machmir, and one saying the other way. So I'm less stuck over here on what this din is. Okay.
Where's the Mishnah Berurah over here?
The Mishnah Berurah here says Mishnah Berurah is memches. He says, "V'hu adin, im yesh lachos shen established by the palm idea ha'ar, tzarich liban tafka." Okay, so what is he saying that you need to do liban? Then he says it's a prima gavim, which is what it is. That's a prima gavim that about these plates that because of that you need to liban. So that's saying no, you don't say the mamon shal. But go look back in the din of knives, and he says over there he makes it in brackets that even though you only occasionally use it, but you're allowed to be samech harav teshmisha. Which means not like the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham Mamash said it means not like Magen Avraham. It's like Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Now, so if you would look at this, then you would say that everybody agrees to what Rabbi Trager says, and Rabbi Trager has a very strong svara. You'll hear maybe a reason to disagree in a second, but Rabbi Trager has a strong svara to say what he's saying. You would say, it's very simply, it says, how do you, if someone walks in, they call him, hello, it's Erev Pesach. We want to, how do we cash our silver for Pesach? What do you tell them? It's the Magen Avraham's gate. What are you going to tell them? You're going to tell them, do hakol to them. Why do hakol to it? Don't you ever stick your fork onto the fire and turn over a French toast? Okay, maybe that's it. Okay, don't you ever think to what the Magen Avraham says, use it on the fire? It never happens that you use it on the fire. So if you have to be choshes for me to tashmishay, why don't you have to do it? So sure sounds like it's because of Rikvega. Because you can't have, because there's a tzirik of Heter Bola and Mi Teshmish. Okay. So there's only one problem with what I just said to you. Because what happens if somebody calls up today in the middle of summer and says, I just made my kitchen was treif, and I want to make a kosher kitchen. What should I do? How should I kosher my silverware? You tell them the same thing. You tell Muslims to hagolah on the silverware. Why should I do hagolah on the silverware? There is no tzirik. There's just Mi Teshmish. So why in the world do you tell the guy to do that? Why don't we tell people to do libum to their silverware? And Prima Mugadim himself says, and therefore you can't cash them. Why don't we tell the guy not to do that?
So you can't cash them?
Yeah, the Prima Mugadim says, those 10 chains, you can't do leave them. That's what the point of it is. You can't do leave them. He says, so why don't we tell the people that they can't cash them? You ever heard of that? No, of course not. The thing is taped. So where's your cash? You put it into a pot. You boil it up. So what happened? What happened to the cash? Okay, so I'm going to give you an answer to that. You're going to have to wait for that. Okay, for now, that's a question. It's, I thought it was going to be a riot like we betrayed it. You know, from the way we do, which is that we cash the things for Pesach like that, I thought it's a riot. And I think it's correct anyway, even after, right? So it's a very strong story for Trager says. But we'll hear an answer in a second. Okay. Now, I have to point that in the side, the Prima Mugadim, I'm going to sort of answer the question now, and I'm going to get a side thing. The Prima Mugadim said that these tin plates were not able to be kasher. I think they were tin. Tin plates are not able to be kasher. Can't do leaving to them. And therefore, you can't use them to Pesach. That's what he says. So, just a question on that is, the Mishnah Berurah says that the kashering you have to do here is not libun gomer. The libun you have to do is libun kal. Why do you have to do libun kal? The reason is because we had a few halachas ago that any time you're doing libun just as a chumrah, you could do instead libun kal. Okay? If you're ever doing libun as a chumrah, you could do it as libun kal. So since Mikra did, we hold that we follow Rav Teshmishay, it's only a chumrah to be choshen shemir Teshmishay, so you could do libun kal. Okay? Well, if you could do Leib and Kal, why couldn't they do Leib and Kal? I understand you can't do Leib and Gomer, but why in the world can't you do Leib and Kal? That I don't understand. I'm just a questioner. The Prima Mugadim said they couldn't do it. Why couldn't they do it? Leib and Kal you could do. It shouldn't be so complicated to do Leib and Kal. So, I mean, and that halacha before is actually Prima Mugadim there also, who makes the point that any time it's a chumrah, l'chayru, mi tashmisha is a chumrah, to choshu mi tashmisha is a chumrah, the ikra din is why tashmisha. So why can't you do leave a cow to things? I don't really understand.
You see the end of that charatine there?
Yes. We're getting to that. That's what we're headed to right now. Okay. So now what he's looking at, the charatine, he says like this. He brings from a base mayor who says that if there is no way to kasher the kli for the miyat tashmisha, then you're not mechuyit. You could be samech on roy tashmisha. Okay? The base mayor is not just saying this out of the air, just being saying it on his own. If you look in Yerodea, in Kuf Chof Aleph, the other Hasimim of Halakos Kelim, the Rama also there says to be choshes from miyat tashmisha, and the way the Gro reads it, which is I think the simple way to read it, the Rama says it like this. If you have a kli that you need to be choshes from miyat tashmisha, but being choshes from miyat tashmisha will mean I can't kasher it, you're not mechuyit to be choshes from miyat tashmisha. This chumrah to be choshes from miyat tashmisha only goes so far. It only is if it's within reason to be choshes for that. But if doing that will mean I can't kasher the kli, it's impossible to do that thing, then I'm not mechuyit to go that far and be choshes from miyat tashmisha.
You don't say those words there.
No. That's what the Rama says over there. And the Beis Meir is saying, "V'hu adin ichachos pesach also." Yes. That's what the Beis Meir is saying. That Ramah that's over there is saying that the same thing is over here also. Just like the Ramah says it over there, it's over here also. Meaning, the Ramah himself says that p'di'evit, if you didn't do choshes from yitashmisha, p'di'evit it's mutter. The Ramah says that even here in ichachos pesach, and the Ramah in your day is sort of just saying like shasat kach p'di'evit. This chash of worrying about Mi'at Tashmisha only goes so far. You only have to be choshes to the extent that you still can kasher. If it means that you won't be possible to kasher, then you don't have to. And the Charatzin is bringing it to argue on this Prima Mugadim. Because here the Prima Mugadim said they couldn't kasher the plate, and therefore you can't use them. So he says, can't kasher the plate, so if you can't kasher, you don't have to be choshes from Mi'at Tashmisha. It's arguing on that, that you could be samach on that. Okay, and now that would answer the question I asked you. How come year-round we don't tell people you should do leave and gummer to their silverware if they need to cash silverware? Okay? How come we let people do hagolah to it? What happened to me at Tashmisha? The answer is because telling them that they have to leave until they're silverware means they can't kasher it. Okay, well, the Ramah says that if be chashir shemi tashmisha will mean you can't kasher it, you don't have to be chashir shemi tashmisha. So you're off the hook. So you can't do leave until your forks. So the Ramah says, if you can't do because you're Shemir Tashmir, so you don't have to. You do as much as you can. Okay, so you do what you can. You can't do Levon, so you do as all, which is what you have to do with the Din, which is Rav Tashmir. Okay? Okay, now all of this that we're talking about sounds...
He couldn't do Levon until one?
Or whatever? It would warp and whatever. I mean, it's not sturdy. Okay, actually, if you feel like you can, then you can talk to Moshe without going around casting people's kitchens. But I don't think most people do it. Okay, so now, all of this that we've heard about, Roy Teshmisha, which all sounds very theoretical, has a very, very practical meaning, okay? Which hopefully I'll get to you eventually, the tshuva about it, but for now I'll just tell you about it, okay? Which is kashering an oven. Okay? We'll talk about it now in a commercial oven, okay? Because a home oven has an additional shilas to it, okay? But for now we'll talk about it in a regular oven. I don't mean an oven that you put the food onto the floor. I mean that oven, of course, is leaving. I'm talking about an oven that the food's in a pan. So when you cook food in a pan in an oven, so what happens? How does the oven become traitor? Well, how does the oven have a, doesn't it ever happen that food falls out of the pan? Somebody drops something as they're putting it in, as it spills, as it overflows, as they're putting something in, they're turning something over, doesn't something ever spill? Doesn't it? So if a solid piece of food falls out, you moved into a house, didn't somebody, the guy who lived there before, maybe once, drop a piece of his tray from meat onto the floor of the oven? So then you need to do leave one. What?
Okay, right.
You're on to the second step. Let's think about the Kli itself. I'm going to get to that in a second. I'm going to ask you to hold that a second.
That's why you need a Tashmisha.
Why?
That's right, Tashmisha.
Because
that spot where it falls is always going to be...
What was the right Tashmisha? Air?
Okay. So, okay.
No,
you're...
Well, some of it's fall. But me Tashmisha doesn't mean most of the time I use it, I don't know, as with mine. Sometimes I do it LA.
Let's say something that falls and you pick it up, right? New Tashmisha means that occasionally you got the bait on the floor of the oven.
Okay.
And now
the other Tashmisha of the floor of the oven is? What Tashmisha is?
You don't use it up.
Whatever you use it up.
You use it to heat up a pan.
Okay. Okay, so we're getting...
I'm surprised you can tell me this.
It's exactly what we're getting. Okay, so like this. What's the main way that you use an oven? So now, the first thing I'm going to say, you could disagree with. The first thing, I would think that the primary way that you use the oven is by Kalim touching the kli. You put a pan of food into the oven, okay, and you have en hapalu yotzim kli l'kli b'loy right there. That's the usual way you use it, is in a way that causes no bleas. Like you just said, like you use a cup. You use it with cold water. Are there any bleeds when you use it for cold drinks? No. Right. So the normal way you use it is a way that doesn't cause bleeds.
Okay.
Now, you could argue that over there, at least, there's contact with the food.
Yeah.
In the oven, there isn't even contact with the food.
Where's the McCarver? Where's the McCarver? Right? Because the item is water, and if we have water, it has our master.
And to be cautious that the Tashmish Hamid will happen twice within that 24 hours is really far fetched. It is not the way I said it. I thought it was just once you're in the Benyamin, Chacham gave you a break. You're saying the Chacham thing is that to think that those two things will punct happen within 24 hours in exactly the same place. He's going to hear Rabelski. Okay, just okay. He just exactly what you said. Punk. You'll hear in a second. Okay, but now, so hold that on the side. Okay, you don't have to agree with that. Baranowski did not agree with that, to say that the kelim touching each other is considered the primary use. Let's put that on the side for a second. What things usually spill onto the floor of the oven? What's the things that usually spill onto the floor of the oven? So my guess is that the roiv things that spill are liquids that spill onto it. Roiv of the things that spill are not things that make you have to do leaving. Roiv of the bleed onto the, I'm putting down the floor of the oven, is things that need hagala, not things that need leaving. More than that, what's the bleed? Forget about the floor of the oven. What about the racks of the oven and the walls of the oven? What's their bleed? Their roiv bleed is through zeir, which is considered a liquid, for which you need hakola. How do the rack is below it? Because on the rack below it, you put a pan of chicken, and well, the zeir went up.
You're not using it. I'm putting the water to collect the zeir. I'm cooking my zeir.
I don't care if you're using it. I'm not using it. That's the way the bleah happens. The Rashba says, think about the main thing, why it got traced, so you'll decide how to kasher. Don't worry about the little ways. Think about the main way. But in your oven, the main way it got traced is through zeir, not because a piece of chicken plopped off. The main way it gets traced is because zeir comes up and hits the thing. So in case the roi kasher, this is easier to say. The spills are for sure more typically liquid, and the zeir is also liquid. And once in a while, a kid decides to make toast in the oven. They put a piece of toast right into the oven, but that's not the normal way you do it. That's the mitzvah. So now I'm not finished yet. So that would say that it's roi tashmisha. Now that we still have to say another step. We have to say, Rabbi Krieger said, for Pesach, you don't have to be kosher from mir tashmisha, which also demands libun. So for Pesach, that would let us off the hook to have to libun for the oven. For year round, we wouldn't be able to use that, because for year round, there's no tzir for heter bala. Then we'll have to say like the Ramah and the Beis Meir say that for year round, if you have no way to do the libun gomer, if being choshesh for Rav Tashmisha means you can't kasher, then you'll have to be samech, you don't have to be choshesh for me Tashmisha. You can be samech on Rav Tashmisha. So if year round I can't do leibun to it, so memeila I can be samech on the Rav Tashmisha. Okay? So there's two steps over here. First of all, you have to decide that this is considered Rav Tashmisha for a way that doesn't need leibun. And the second step would be is, since it's only Rav Tashmisha, I can either be mekel on Pesach no matter what, because of the tziruv, because of the Mamar Shach, or I don't have to be Mechayshish year round because I have, it's impossible to do it, and if I can be Mech. Okay, those are two steps. Now, you have to realize something. Before I tell you why Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi both disagree with it for opposite reasons, you have to realize something. If you're going to say that the reason you're allowed to do Leibun Kal instead of Leibun Gomer is because of Roy Tashmisha, because we're being Semech on Roy Tashmisha, remember the Mishnah Berurah said, Roy Tashmisha only works if the Kli Zayin Ben Yomai. You only allowed to do, because Rav Tashmisha starts with it's a Rabban, and therefore you could be Samech on Rav Tashmisha. That means is, if you kash your oven with Liban Kal, it has to be Eni Ben Yomai, not because Liban Kal needs Eni Ben Yomai, not because of the Prima God, that it might need Eni Ben Yomai. You need to be Eni Ben Yomai, because or else you can't be Samech on Rav Tashmisha. So you need Eni Ben Yomai for a strange reason. You need Eni Ben Yomai to allow you to get away with Liban Kal. Not that you need the Eni Ben Yomai to, for the Liban Kal, you need Eni Ben Yomai to let you get to first base to think about doing Liban Kal. That's going to come out. Okay, now, Rabbi Shechter didn't like the second. Remember, there are two points here. One point is, it's Rav Tashmisha for Hagol, and the second point is that in Cain, for Pesach, you could be Mekel. Rabbi Shechter said, first of all, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Krieger. Rabbi Krieger said, there's a Maman of Shach. Maman of Shach, either you have to be, say, Teter Bola or Rav Tashmisha. Rav Shach said, no. He said, he thinks the Pshat is like Tashmisha and Chulun. Tashmisha and Chulun said a third answer, that Rav Tashmisha just says is, if you don't know that you did it, then you could be Mekel. So maybe in many houses it's true. Maybe in houses you know that you don't know that anybody put it on for you, but it's just a possibility. So for that possibility, you don't have to be Chulun. In my house, I know they do it. The kids occasionally, I'll take a piece of bread and I'll stick it into the oven, right onto the rack, and they'll toast a piece of bread on that. Okay? So according to Rabbi Shechter, that's one reason. He says, second of all, he says, I told you this kasha this week. Rabbi Shechter says, the Rajba says he's makel about Rav Tashmisha because Eini Ben Yomai is mutter b'di'evet. He says, I understand. He says, the Ramah holds that Eini Ben Yomai is not mutter on Pesach b'di'evet. So it would be one thing to be Samachan this year round. He says, but for Pesach you can't be Samachan because for Pesach the Kli is, Eini Ben Yomai is also b'di'evet. So how could you be Samech on Rav Tashmisha when, in this case, it's not Mutzah B'Di'evet? The Eini Ben Yomai is actually Mutzah B'Di'evet, because for Pesach, the Ramah's Mashmah, the Eini Ben Yomai is Asher B'Di'evet. Okay? That's Rabbi Shechter. So he argues for that reason. Now, he acknowledges that the Beis Meir says not like him, and that the Gra in your day I learned not like that also. And he has a whole other way to learn it. And Mr. Shem, when I get it to you, you'll be able to read it yourself what he says. Okay, he has a whole thing about it. This all started...
also, right?
What? Yes. So I told... The answer is... What?
You do the Agola before Pesach. You have the same Agola before Pesach when Adam Yom is fine.
Yes.
Right?
So he says, if you cook food before Pesach, the food will be mutter. But if on Pesach, you want to cook food in this oven, you see, I'm being Samech. Since it's Adam Ben Yomri, I was allowed to be Samech on Mia Tashmisha. But I'm using it on Pesach. So right now, the food is.
Even if you have Bishan, if you have Agola, you have the din of Muksha, because it was before Pesach.
Okay, I didn't think of it like that, but yes, I guess that's true. Now, we said last week that there's an answer to this kasha. He brings the kasha from the Supreme Court, which it is, the Supreme Court's kasha, that Adam Ben Yomri is also on Pesach. And the answer is, the Rambam Pana says, the Rashba didn't mean that it's mutter b'dieved, therefore, you're allowed to say Rosh Tashmish. He meant it's being mutter b'dieved chosen that's the Rabbanon. And if it's the Rabbanon let you off the hook. Okay, it's not because it's mutter b'dieved. It's that being mutter b'dieved shows that it's a lesser issue, which of course it is a lesser issue. Okay. That's what he describes, right? And what this all started for him, this started because he was in a hotel for Pesach, you know, to visit someone one day in Cholomay Pesach, in a hotel, and they brought him into the kitchen. I'm not sure if the Mashkiach asked him this question, like the father of the Mashkiach or whatever it is. He walked into the kitchen, he sees in the oven, food falling out every so often, a piece of meat plopped off onto the floor of the oven. So it made him wonder how this oven, which is safe all year round, could be possibly kosher for him. That's a problem. I have a feeling he didn't eat lunch that day. Okay, anyhow. Okay, that's his thing. Now, Rabbi Bavki didn't agree with any of that. He had like a betrayer. But he said, sort of what he said, but mamish punt fakir. He says, how do you use an oven? So I told you, it's roi tashmisha for hagola, because either it's kli b'kli, you agree or you don't agree, fig spill, nizeya, and once in a while, a piece of food actually plops over, if someone puts a piece of bread onto the oven. Rabbi Bavki said that. He says, you're looking at the protein of how you use the rack and how you use the floor. He says, but look at the oven as a whole big picture. What do you do with an oven? What do you do with an oven? In an oven, you bake things directly on the fire. You take a piece of meat, put it into a pan, and you bake it. So ovens are kalim that are used in a way that needs leaving. The food that's in there, you put a challah, you take a challah, put it into a pan, bake it into the oven. That pan needs leaven. Whatever the way you use oven, basically the roi tashmisha is in a way that needs leaven. Occasionally, you'll do something in a liquidy form that doesn't need it, but the bulk of what you do in an oven is needs leaven. So I said, but you're looking at you're not looking at the oven. It's not true. The pans are used roi tashmisha in a way that needs leaven, but the oven does not. What's the oven? The box that it's in and the rack that it's sitting on, they're never used with food directly on the fire. He's saying, but look at the whole picture. When you take what do I do with an oven? Ovens are used to cook food, dry food directly on the fire. But that's looking at such a big picture, but it's really not such a big picture. Really, the argument is you should look at just the pan. The pan is used like he says, but the big chamber is not used like that. Okay, I'm not sure if I'm being clear. Okay, he's saying the opposite of what you said. You said is look at the whole thing. He's saying L'chumra, right? He's saying it's not Roy Tashmisha. He's saying it's not considered Roy Tashmisha for ways of Hagola, even though the bleas into the part that you're trying to kasher, Roiva, those bleas came through Hagola. He says Roiva, the use of the oven is the way it means Liban. Okay, and I guess that what he's saying is that the Rashba says, we tell you, don't think about the strange way to use it, think about the main way to use it. So if you think of oven, what should come to your mind is that you use it, dry food directly on the fire.
So that's what I could have done. Kosher oven, think, I want to kosher me, the nice of Ben Yoimai. What are you going to tell me to do now? I put it on the pan, the chazal on the pan, and then top it off the oven. What are you going to tell me to do now? Ben Yoimai. I want to do it. Ben Yoimai. I mean, the big there. What am I going to do?
And you put the tray into a pan. You could do Hagol.
Okay,
you have a good point. You're saying this. Every time that if I use it once for Trey, I would catch it like this. And this whole thing of me and Tashmisha is saying is, but didn't I once use it for Trey? Okay, that's a good point. Okay, now, I have to say something, but I'm not finished with what Rabelski said. He said, and because of this, now, this might be an editorial, but it's because of this. He says, Rav Moshe, every year, when he finishes Shabbos HaKadosh Rosh Hashanah, the last thing he would say is, and remember, that your oven has to be kashrut b'leivim gavim. That's what it says. Every single year, that was the end of the Shabbos Kol Drasha. I guess the Drasha was a Drasha, and most of the people went home and didn't know what he said. Well, you know, it was a whole complicated thing, so he wants to make sure they came something. And the Drasha every ended with, and remember to do b'leivim gavim on your ovens. And Rebbe says, it's only like in later days that people started doing b'leivim gavim. In the olden days, you know, in the olden days, everybody did b'leivim gavim on the ovens. Rebbe says, every year, Rebbe ended his Drasha like that. When the Shabbos Kol Drasha would end up, and remember, you have to do b'leivim gavim on your oven. Okay? So that makes you feel even more. And then, so that sounds very strong. Okay, now, and Rabbi is understanding it, or maybe Rabbi Moshe said this, that it's because it's not considered worth Tesh Misha. Okay, I don't know if Rabbi Moshe said that part, that this question why it's not worth Tesh Misha. Rabbi did say, that you know what you guys said at the beginning, which is, let's even say the oven is trafe. Let's say it's trafe. How's the bleah going to get out of the oven back into my food? How's it going to happen? Well, the only way it could happen, things could happen. Either a piece of food could drop off, that won't make any bleas come back. I mean, unless you can eat that food off before the oven. He says, or what's going to happen is something will spill. He says, well, there's a din in Yerdeh that says that if you have something and there's a fire burning and a little bit of liquid pours on there, what's the din? If it's a little bit, then we assume that it burns up right away. Well, that's what goes on over here. A guy is pulling the pan of chicken out and a little spritz is out over the edge. What would the din say about that thing? So L'chaira, the din would say that stuff is going to be burnt up right away. Okay, I guess if you dropped a lot of it, you'd have a problem. But if you drop a little bit, which is more typical, then the bleah would be burnt up right away. So because of that, he says he can hear why you should do l'chaira. Well, you should do not at the kasher, because there's not going to be any way to get the bleah out of the kli. And then he cryptically said that, yeah, you can kasher with l'chaira. It's really hard to kasher with l'chaira, you can kasher with l'chaira. But even though he said, now maybe it's because of this reason, but I know that it was cryptic. It was just like, yeah, you can catch it with even cow, but without explaining why, because he just told me that he doesn't hold the sword of Tesh Mishrei. Rabbi Shecht is saying, yes, it's sword of Tesh Mishrei, but I don't think you could be makel for me Tesh Mishrei over here. You're not allowed to be simcha, at least for Pesach, you're not allowed to be simcha. Rabbi Shecht is saying, no, it's not even sword of Tesh Mishrei, you don't get the first base. Not sword of Tesh Mishrei at all. Okay, now, I think we once spoke to that. Rebbe has his own way of doing leaven gum, but okay. And he has a sheet that self-kashrut is leaven gum, which is also questionable. Okay. That he said that self-cleanness is leaven gum, which is, we already had said was questionable. Okay. Okay, now, I'm just going to end by telling you that there's another question for a home oven. I hope we'll get to it. There's a halacha later on that's mamish this halacha. Most people will write past and not realize that it's in their homes. Which is that the ovens, the walls, not the racks, the racks are made out of metal, but the walls and the floor and the whole body of the oven, the inside of the oven, is made out of a material that's glass, coated with glass.
Why is metal?
Okay, so I'll talk about this to you maybe today. Almost every home oven in the world is, we'll see, it's made out of something called porcelain enamel, which is steel coated with glass, okay? And so that has its own trials that maybe it should be one because of the glass shabbat. Because you can't talk about the glass. We don't catch the glass. So that has its own child. I hope we'll talk about it when we get to porcelain enamel, which is in Boston.